just to get down. Devin now. I wake up just to get down. Devin now. Hey, I wake up just to get down.
I don't know if they're
develop these bars for the developing stars, whoa. Ranked by their stars though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, cause college is bleak, man. The knees of the bees, man, people's champ, man, true now. I trust them with everything, every conference giving me confidence. Hipping is hopping and really no stopping them. Make you a champion, y'all put a sock in it, woo! But this is life, bro, they're at it all night though. So you can just drive slow and get down with the Devi crew.
I wake up just to get down. Devi now. I wake up just to get down. Devi now. Hey, I wake up just to get down.
I don't know if they're
All right, everybody, I'd like to welcome everybody back. This is Devi Happy Hour. This is episode number 8. This is your source of Devi information, and we're also going to cover a lot about the draft. That's kind of what we're focusing on right now. Real quick, a couple little shout, a little where you can find us at Devi Happy Hour on Twitter, and our email is devihappyhour@gmail.com. And he said we didn't have to, but I want to thank Tyler Gunther, @DHH_Tyler, for giving us a shot to bring our Devi information to the masses. And if you have not yet, make sure you check out the new dynastyhappyhour.com. The new site looks absolutely tight.
Yes.
And I want to introduce right now my co-host, Andrew. Andrew, how you doing, man?
I guess I kind of cut into introducing myself with my yes, but that site's just too damn nice not to comment on. But I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Yeah, the site's shiny. I like it. Andrew would like to start off with a matching game. This is the Josh Rosen edition. Just saw that today that appears that if Josh Rosen is available, the Chargers, Patriots, and Giants have shown interest. So, if Andrew, what would you give up for Josh Rosen if you were one of those teams?
So I guess we'll just start from the listed. So for the Chargers, I think Philip Rivers still's got a couple years left. Obviously, he has the energy because his wife just had their 9th child. So he's okay as far as flexibility and being in shape and whatnot, and that's enough dirty jokes for one show. Maybe their second or third. I don't think they should give up their first, because they're one of those teams where if they hit on their first, they could take that next step, even with being in the AFC West with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. But I think the Chargers are very close, so I wouldn't give up anything too high draft capital-wise. I get that you want to have Rivers, and you could have Rosen sit for a while, but I don't see Rivers being the coach-em-up type. Like, I kind of feel like it would be like the Brett Favre situation with Aaron Rodgers, but without having Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
So as far as New England goes, I think that's the biggest boomer bust destination, because with his personality with Belichick, it'd be interesting to see who wins. But at the same time, he would get to sit for another year or two, depending on how long Brady goes. So I think New England is probably the best situation for him. I would give up 32 for Rosen. I mean, they don't have a whole lot of needs, and they have so many picks. They may not even have to give up 32. They could probably throw a second and a third at him if that might get the deal done. I know they're saying Arizona wants a one, but if your one's going to be that late, why not take the extra pick if you're a team like the Cardinals that has so many holes? And then for the Giants, I'd give up 17 for them. I wouldn't give up 6, but I would totally throw the Browns pick at them, because at 17, you're going to get to pick from not Dwayne Haskins and not Kyler Murray. And nobody else there is who I'd like. If Drew Lock is somehow there at 17, I'd still rather have Josh Rosen than Drew Lock. I'm not a very big Drew Lock, or not very high on Drew Lock, but at the same time, comparing the two apples to apples, I'd rather have Josh Rosen.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would have went. I think the Giants have the best ammunition. I think 17 is probably what it would take, and I think that's worth Josh Rosen's easily worth that. I don't think Josh is going to like going to the Chargers, because he's going to have to sit for a while. I would think he'd like the Patriots, but yeah, I don't know how his personality would mesh with Belichick. I agree. But at the same time, it's the Patriots, so I think he'd be stupid to turn that down. I think the Giants is the most likely in the ones, but it's just a matter of, you know, do the interest and stuff. I think
it comes down to, is Gettleman smart enough to pull it off?
Right. I think they're the only ones that can give up the one that they've been asking for and still have a really strong draft. So.
I saw someone on Twitter, and I can't remember who it was, and I apologize. It only popped up because Patrick Chamberlain, the diehard New York Giants fan in the Circus Football Hall of Fame, he commented on it, and it was, if they traded 17 for Rosen, this makes the Odell Beckham trade even for me. And I'm like, no, that's not how that works.
No.
You're telling me you'd look back and you'd be like, Jabril Peppers, yeah. Or Josh Rosen, Jabril Peppers, and Zeitler. OBJ?
No.
Yeah, for OBJ? No.
No, really in hell.
No.
And I mean, there is still legitimate concerns about Rosen. He's not by any means a lock. He looked terrible last year. I realize he had a terrible situation, but he is not a lock by any means. So,
yeah,
I mean, if he turns out to be the franchise quarterback, maybe 10 years down the road, you can say it was sort of a push. But no, I don't think it's anywhere near close. So.
No, I'm glad we're on the same page there.
All right. Is there a team listed here you think would be a good spot that maybe we're not talking about?
I do think Washington. I like a lot him with Gruden. I think Colt McCoy's serviceable enough that you could go a year with McCoy or go half the year or however long you can. But we talked about it a couple episodes ago. I like Jay Gruden a lot. I think he's a very underrated coach, despite the fact he looked like he had to take a dump in the coach's photo from the meetings the other day. I don't know if you're able to see that. Yeah. But I think he's a very good coach. And I think he hasn't had – I mean, he had Kirk Cousins, and we saw what he could do. But I feel like Josh Rosen would be a real – like, he's a younger Kirk Cousins. And if Gruden can mold him up, it'd be interesting to see what he can do.
Right. That's the only other team I could think of, because putting him with Keenum and McCoy, I think both of those guys would be great teachers for him. And then he's going to, you know, take over for next year. And I would assume – Alex Smith is not going to play, but you'd think he'd be around, and I would like the teacher as well. So,
yeah, I have a buddy who has a lot of good Washington ties and sources that he's told me that they're not counting on Alex Smith to come back, not this year or ever, potentially, with the complications he's had and everything else. Not counting him out, they're just obviously being cautious. You've got to move on in that case. But another team, too, just to throw out, as far as like a best case scenario for a team not listed to keep the theme going for the show. A worst case scenario, I think, would be someone like Miami, who has a 13th pick. I don't see them giving that up because Flores, coming from New England, is going to value picks, and he has that way and belief with the Belichick system. I don't think they would make that move, but I think Rosen would have his lunch eaten and then some down in South Beach.
Yeah, I talked last week about they need to make the most with their picks, and that would be one of the worst decisions to do with their pick. So it's just throwing him into another bad situation, and it would not work. So, all right, now we're going to get into our divisional fit. Anybody that doesn't know me, the North is my favorite division in both AFC and NFC because I live in Michigan. I've been to Lions games, Bengals games, you know, so it's that's my, we'll say like my two teams. So like I'm a huge, huge North fan for both AFC and NFC. First, we're going to start off with the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears now don't have much in the draft. They have a third, fourth, fifth, and two sevenths. That's it, man.
You got Khalil Mack, though. Khalil
Mack to show for it. So, Andy, what do you think is their best fit?
I really like, and I was looking, I'm working on finalizing my running back grades, and someone who I moved up a lot and I think would do really well as a compliment to Tariq Cohen just because of his body type and running ability. And just he could be a three down back if you need him to give Cohen a little bit of a break. Alexander Mattison, running back out of Boise State. He's one that I remember watching and I didn't have a lot of hopes going into when I watched. But coming out of it, he's probably going to be in my top 15 running backs, maybe just on the edge of the top 10. I think he's going to be a sleeper, I think, for fantasy players and the NFL coming into this next year.
Yeah, on that tip, they still have Jordan Howard. I think Jordan Howard.
I think Jordan Howard's going to get moved.
I think so too. But if they can't, I think Madison is a similar type of player, I believe.
Madison fit, I would go with Howard not being there. Right. If Howard's there, then that completely changes it. But I'm pretty sure that I don't see Howard being there afterwards, just because he's going to be wanting to get paid soon. Right. And Madison, obviously, can get cheap on a rookie deal, especially with like a third or a fourth rookie deal.
Yeah, that's one as a fan I don't understand. I don't know why Jordan Howard is.
I think they're the perfect complement to each other. Yeah, I think you got something good. Just keep it in place.
I don't understand it. I mean, Jordan Howard's not going to like a great back, but he's not a bad back. Like, geez, nope. I don't get it. So my best fit, I'm going to go over to the defensive side of the ball. The guy's getting some second round buzz, so he might not make it to the third, but I'm going to go with Kari Willis from Michigan State. He just he's a great leader, really strong tackler. He's got an amazing motor, very intelligent player, not the quickest guy, but he can kind of replace what Adrian Amos, what they lost by losing him. So I really like Willis. I like that he's getting some buzz. He's a guy that I've always liked, you know, being a homer pick kind of, but he's a damn good player too. So, and then as far as a worse fit, I do not want to see them get like another route running wide receiver. I like Allen Robinson for that. I like Anthony Miller for that. I'd like to see him get a burner, actually.
Don't want to see your Anthony Miller love you down the toilet.
There is nobody in this draft better than Anthony Miller. And anyways, I would hate to get like a Deebo or a Keyshawn Johnson, you know, any like that. I don't want to see them get I'd like to see him get like a deep threat. But what were you saying?
Matt Miller tweeted out today that Deebo is getting some top 50 love.
I saw that.
And top 40 love. I was like, ooh. I got on that train first. I didn't write anything. That sounded bad.
On it first. Anyways, you were on it early, that's for sure. Those who were for the Bears.
My worst fit is tight end Dawson Knox from Ole Miss. Only because obviously they have Trey Burton there, Florida alum, played quarterback of Florida. So, but they have Adam Shaheen there too, who I think Dawson Knox is essentially the same type of player. Just something like, I think Dawson, as far as fantasy value, can have something. He just has to go to the right spot. I think if he went somewhere like Chicago and they pulled the plug on Adam Shaheen already, would be dumb. And plus two, I just don't think it benefits Dawson Knox. So it's more or less just Shaheen, I think, is still developing. Tight ends, like we talked about last week, take a while. So I like to see him get some more reps and work his way back up, complimenting Trey Burton in Chicago. And I want to see Dawson Knox go to a team where he could potentially be the featured tight end.
Right, yeah, I think they'd be silly to draft any tight end. I mean, this should be Burton's pretty much breakout at this point, and he should be on the same page with Trubisky at this point. So,
yeah,
that doesn't make any sense to me either. So now next one, but the Bears are, you know, they're kind of hamstrung by what they can do with lack of picks anyways.
Right.
Packers, they are drafting at 12th. They also have the 30th pick. They have the second rounder at pick 44, a third rounder at 75. They have 2 fourths, a fifth, 2 sixths, and a seventh. They actually have quite a bit and have been very active in free agency as well. Andrew, what's your best fit for the Packers?
I think last week we talked about him being a Buffalo Bills guy, but TJ Hockenson could be a cheesehead too at the same time. Two diehard fan bases in the NFL, two of the best fan bases that the NFL has. Again, Hockenson, it'd be dumping snow in Green Bay in January when they make the playoffs next time. And Hockenson would be out there with no gloves, no sleeves, just balling out like a badass, basically. I think Hockenson would be a very good compliment. I think Jimmy Graham's really seen his time come and go. I expect him to be a cap casualty at some point because I think he's just going to be too expensive. And I think Hockenson would be fantastic. Get what you can out of Aaron Rodgers while you have him, before Danica Patrick convinces him to leave and go somewhere else.
I like it. I like that pick. My best fit, I'm going to go defense. So they've made some defensive strides, but they still need a lot of defensive help, especially in the front seven. I'd like to see him get at Oliver. If he falls to 12, he'd be a great fit there. I think this morning, yeah, I heard somebody thinking that would be a good spot if he makes it that far.
Yeah.
That would be awesome on that line. They just need front seven. I mean, they've their front seven's been, you know, fading for quite a few years. And then later in the round, I'd like to see him get someone like Juan Thornhill to replace HaHa. So Yeah, I like that they have a lot of options that they could potentially move. It's definitely not something they have in the past done. So they have a lot of – I just like to see them really attack the defense because that defense needs to get better. And they got a couple good corners last year, so they have a lot to build around there.
And they loaded up in the free agency too with Preston Smith, Zadarius.
Yeah,
pass rushers like you talked about.
Yeah, that's why I think Ed Oliver would be such a great fit. Eat some space in the middle there. And so, and then maybe a guy like Kalen Sanders later would be awesome too. So worst fit. Andrew, I love this.
I don't want any more running backs to cause any more damn confusion. There's enough going on there. I don't even want any wide receivers, honestly, to go there to cause any more damn confusion. So, yeah, if you're going to add a weapon, do it to tight end where – you know, Jimmy Graham's basically on his way out the door. Right. Wide receivers, they loaded up in the draft, getting a couple good young guys like St. Brown. And they got Scantling last year, didn't they?
Yeah, Valdez Scantling and
Brown.
Moore, wasn't it? Jamon Moore?
Jamon Moore, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so they took a couple receivers last year, and they've got Williams and Jones and just
– yeah.
Stay away from any other skill position except tight end. That's all I ask in this. If they do, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. And they've already said that they're going to do running back by committee. So
it pisses me off because I'm one of the biggest Aaron Jones truthers on the planet. Like, I absolutely love Aaron Jones. My worst fit. Don't at me.
Oh, I agree with this.
No, I saw this and I was like, don't. Like Noah Fant in this offense. We got Jimmy Graham last year, and everybody's like, oh, Aaron Rodgers has never had a tight end like Jimmy Graham. So why in the hell would you draft another one just like Jimmy Graham? Yeah. He's not going to find that. I just don't like the fit there. Like, I think he would be all right. I just think it would cap his ceiling a little bit, Noah Fant. Like, I think he would be much better at another place, and I love Noah Fant. That's kind of the reason why I don't want him. I don't think they'll get him. I don't think he'll be there at 12, or I think he will be there at 12, but it's too early, and I don't think he'll be there at 30. So I'm hoping it's not an issue, and I've heard a lot of Packers fans say they would love it, but I personally
don't fit there. If you're going to go tight end out of those two, you got to go with the complement to Grant, and that's Hockenson. Fant is the same thing in Jimmy Graham, so no, I 100% agree with you.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. I didn't think you'd agree. But anyways, that's like a sexy pick. Everybody, I think everybody wants Fant there.
Yeah.
I just don't. You know, I just don't. Anyways, we'll lead on to the Minnesota Vikings next. They have pick 18. They have pick 50 in the second round, pick 81 in the third. Then they have a fourth, 2 sixths, and 2 sevenths. And we're kind of on the same page here. Best fit, Andrew?
Best fit for me, I think, is Jonah Williams. Him falling to 18 is going to be real tough. I don't know if he will or won't. Kind of depends on how many trades you get and people that are going to be reaching for different positions, especially the quarterbacks. I mean, it's very possible Jonah Williams could fall to 18. They need offensive line help. And with Kirk Cousins there, you've put all that money into him. You got Diggs and Thielen and Cook. With Kubiak there, you get Williams, who can be a plug and play at really anywhere on the line. So even if you have an injury or something like that, he'll be able to fill in even while he's learning everything else. So I just like the flexibility with Jonah Williams. I like the pedigree he has coming out of Alabama, being a solid offensive lineman in general. He should be a tackle, but like I said, if you need him to move inside, he can move inside. If you need him to be outside and be a lead blocker or whatever for Cook, he'll be that. So I think if they took someone like Williams, Diggs, Thielen, Cousins, Cook, all their shares go way up.
Right. Oh, I absolutely agree. I said any offensive lineman, honestly. I know there's some that are better than others, and I would be even not opposed to them reaching for somebody. They just need to address the offensive line. Kirk Cousins is not a quarterback that's going to improvise and do well running, and they've got to protect him. They've got to open holes for Dalvin Cook. Yeah, they have to get an offensive lineman. I think anything less would be like just everyone would be like, what the hell? And I think their worst fit – well, I'll let you do the worst fit first since you don't think they should take this offensive lineman.
It's just Cody Ford from Oklahoma. I have a thing with Oklahoma offensive linemen. I think they're really scheme-specific.
Right.
Going all the way back to like when Sam Bradford had Phil Loadholt, who was a very good offensive lineman and offensive tackle for Minnesota. It's just a thing for me. I don't like Oklahoma offensive linemen because their numbers look real sexy. They give up like one or two sacks every year. And I think a lot of it's scheme specific. So that's just my thing with Cody Ford. I don't think he'll be a bad player. I just, when you're a team like Minnesota where you're in a win now scenario, don't be gambling on an offensive lineman.
Yeah, I don't scout offensive linemen, but I think what I've read about him is that he's mainly a pass blocker. And I mean, you're going to get games in the north where you know are going to need to run, especially when you're in Green Bay and it's snowing and it's 5 degrees. You know, you're going to need a guy that can run block too. So yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense for what they do. And as far as their worst fit, I just think they shouldn't go anywhere near the wide receiver class this year. That's one of their strengths. And if they wanted to grab a guy in the sixth or seventh round, I wouldn't fault them. But I think any wide receiver, you know, they've got great wide receivers and they don't need to address that position. So to my second favorite team, that sounds funny, the Detroit Lions, they are picking at 8th, 43rd in the second round, 88th in the third, and they have a 4th, 5th, 2 6ths, and 2 7ths. And you, I love this. I would have picked him if you didn't. So Andrew, what's your best fit here?
Way back when there was the last really big hype tight end coming out of college, and his name was Eric Ebron, Detroit took him very, very high. A lot of people thought he was going to be great and everything else and perfect complement to Stafford. Well, he didn't do shit till this year. He was with Andrew Luck. I think part of it was the offense there not really using him that well. Offensive coordinator Jim Bob Cooter, had to say that name, is out in Detroit. They got him replaced. Don't ask me who. I can't remember off the top of my head right now. But I think Noah Fant would be perfect for Stafford and for Kenny Golladay. Because Golladay benefited a lot from Golden Tate being there. I think Fant is flexible enough that you could throw him in the slot. You could throw him outside for a couple plays. He can really just be that Gronk type for Stafford that Brady benefited so much from with him. I think Noah Fant would be a wonderful compliment for Matthew Stafford in general in Detroit. So I think everyone's fantasy values would go way up.
Right. Like Ebron was – it's tricky. I love Stafford. I absolutely love Matt Stafford. I think he doesn't throw the most catchable ball at times. He tends to put a little bit of heat on it when he doesn't need it.
Yeah.
Ebron couldn't just sell it. It seemed like he just couldn't catch his passes. And I mean, I don't think that'll be a problem with Fant. Fant's got amazing hands. So, and I think they peppered Ebron with targets and then until it was to the point where they couldn't trust him anymore. So I actually really like that fit there. If they decide to go defense, I like Brian Burns. I also like Devin Bush there. I think both of those guys can bring some attitude to that defense. They have a pretty decent linebacking core, but I think Bush would be a huge upgrade. And Burns would be a nice upgrade also because it doesn't look like they're going to get Ziggy back. So, yeah, I really like Burns.
Yeah, he's still unsigned.
Yeah, he's still unsigned. So they might get him back cheap. But
and yeah, they're talking –
yeah, Burns opposite him would be, whew, that'd be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I like both of those guys there.
Then I really like Bush.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they went that route. I think they're pretty confident in their linebacking core from what I've heard. But as far as a worst fit, I don't like Ed Oliver there. I think he'd be all right. I think he's going to infringe too much on what Snacks Harrison does. I know Harrison's like, I think he's 31. So he's got a couple years left in him, but I just don't like that fit opposite him. The Lions tend to run, you know, kind of a 3-4, 4-3, kind of bounce around. So Oliver might be all right versatility-wise, but I think they would be better off picking somebody like Burns that could hit the edge. And I don't want him to pick a running back. That's selfish because I love Kerryon Johnson. So what else is your worst fit?
My worst fit is my recently declared wide receiver 2. If you didn't catch my wide receiver rankings, come out on the scorecard for anyone listening. I know, right? It was on them all year. And then I was introduced to Kelvin Harmon full time. And I was just like, oh, nope, I need to get rid of you. DK Metcalf for me, I think, would be a bad fit just because I think Stafford needs someone like we talked about with Fant, the flexibility to catch those balls. Like you said, he doesn't throw the most catchable ball at times. I think with Metcalf, you talk about the flexibility and just being too stiff. I think that would just make for a bad situation for Metcalf and for Detroit in general to waste a high pick. Because I think for Detroit to get him, obviously, you're not going to get him at 43. You'd have to take him at 8. So I would rather go Noah Fant at 8 than DK Metcalf at 8.
Oh, 100% agree, man. All right, we're going to switch gears. Going to go to the AFC now. We'll start out with the Baltimore Ravens. They have pick 22. They do not have a second. They have pick 85 in the third, as well as 102 in the third. They have 2 4s, a 5, and 2 6. Andrew, best fit and worst fit are the same thing.
Yeah, no, best fit, I have any of the top wide receivers, and worst fit are any of the top wide receivers. Lamar Jackson just is not a good passer. I think DK, like we just talked about, the flexibility and the adapting to the ball and going to it and everything, he's not going to be able to do with Lamar. N'Keal Harry has an insane catch radius, but not a Lamar Jackson catch radius.
Keen Butler.
Kelvin Harmon is a very good route runner. Jackson's still going to miss him. So I just – and Debo, I love Debo, and A.J. Brown. Just there's nobody here that I want to see play with Lamar Jackson. And then their backup's RG3, and I don't want to see him play with RG3 either. So I just – they need receivers because right now I think their one is Willie Snead. So, I mean, they're probably going to go receiver, but I hope it's nobody I like. I just don't have a lot of faith in Lamar Jackson.
Oh, I agree, man. I still think – I agree to an extent. I think their best fit of those is probably N'Keal Harry.
It would be, just because of the catch radius.
And he's had a quarterback that has been not great and has had, he adjusts the ball in the air really well. So that's the only thing I got for him.
Fair enough.
As far as defensively, Taylor Rapp would be fun on Baltimore, but yeah, I don't know if they're going to go defensively. They need a lot of stuff. Actually, they are a team with a lot of holes. They lost a lot in defense. They
filled up at safety decently to get Earl Thomas to go with Tony Jefferson, but
right.
Yeah, linebackers still need some work. I don't think Devin Bush falls that low, obviously.
No,
but. And defensive line is going to be pretty much picked over at that point. So,
yeah, they need a lot, man. So, and then their worst fit if they a tight end, or they don't need another damn tight end. That was just for fun.
Tight end 5.
But I agree. I don't think that any of the route technicians like AJ Brown are going to be good there. I could see Hakeem Butler being okay there, although he doesn't have the greatest hands, but he also has an insane.
His would be the insane catch radius.
Yeah. That's the only part. It's an ugly thing. I mean, I'd hope that they could make Lamar better, but I don't know.
I'm worried Lamar's going to have the RG3 thing happen where everyone's going to get a full year to game plan for him, and he's either going to be able to beat it out or they're not going to be able to. So it's not like Russell Wilson where he's a great passer where he doesn't have to run it like nonstop like those two did.
Right. From a fantasy standpoint, I don't think I have Lamar on any team. I just can't trust that type of production. You know, the running, and I know that running quarterbacks are like, you know, gold, but I just can't trust
certain running quarterbacks.
Yeah. There's no Randall Cunningham. Anyways, that's my boy. What up, Tom? Anyways, all right, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has pick 20. They have pick 52 in the second, 83 in the third, then they have a fourth, 2 6th, and a seventh. I so badly wanted to say your pick because I think that's the best pick for them. If that would be like a best case scenario for
absolutely. And I think, and you, I mean, you wrote it down for one of your people. I think, and it's crazy to think before the year, Greedy Williams was a top 5 pick, and for him to be talked about at 20, I mean, I saw him mock to the Chiefs at 29 the other day. So for Greedy to be in that discussion for Pittsburgh, I mean, everyone knows that I've talked about it. I'm not going to keep complaining that I live in the Pittsburgh area, but I get to see a lot of Steeler games. And with seeing a lot of Steeler games, Joe Hayden, one of my favorite players ever, he's a Florida Gator, was Cleveland Brown, and he was in Pittsburgh. He's a shell of himself. I think he just needs to be moved to safety, honestly, and I think it'd benefit Pittsburgh a lot better. Sensabaugh, Artie Burns, all them are just – yeah, the face that Dwight just made looked like he got punched in the nuts when I said Artie Burns. So that about sums up how Steelers fans should feel about them. And honestly, any corner, the best corner on the board here is who they should take. But I think there's a real chance that Greedy Williams is available. They still won't be able to cover Jarvis Landry or Odell Beckham Jr., but hey, you can try.
Yeah, but they have 2 games against Baltimore and Cincinnati. They don't have to cover people for those.
Right.
So I'm right there. Greedy, Byron Murphy, Trayvon Mullen. I'd be happy with any of those there. you know, Mullen might be a bit of a reach, and Murphy too. But I think both of them, if they're and Greedy's gone, they have to go cornerbacks. They have to be better in the secondary.
I think they're perfect. And just to go 1-2 here, go Greedy at 20 and go Nasir Adderley at 52. I think that would be dream scenario for Steelers fans.
Or even Rakyon Sen would be good too if he falls that far. So.
Yeah, if Rocky Sin's there at 52, you.
Yep. Worst fit, I don't want to see them take any offensive weapons early. I think they've been neglecting the defense for far too long. I mean, they've had some early picks. I mean, they for some reason took Terrell Edmonds last year in the first round, which is one of the worst draft picks last year.
I think definitely Rashad Penny.
Yeah, they probably could have got him in the fourth round. So I didn't understand that one at all. I like the player, but yeah. So I think other than that, you know, they got TJ Watt a couple years ago. They've had some good defensive, but I feel like their defense is just not getting better quick enough. And it's been exposed many times. And you know, they get after the quarterback, but that's almost all they can do, it seems like.
Yeah, defense, they haven't had that real good first-round hit since Cam Hayward.
Right.
I mean, TJ Watt's been good, but I mean, Cam Hayward's fantastic.
What is your worst fit for the squealers? That's what I call them.
I think any of the quarterbacks they could get after, they're not going to go quarterback, obviously, round really 1-4 realistically. So I just don't want them to take a flyer on anybody. I think Mason Rudolph's better than a lot of, I mean, I'd rather have Mason Rudolph over Daniel Jones if that's not a bad enough smash on Daniel Jones. But no, I think they have Dobbs there too. They've taken two quarterbacks. They've got Dobbs and Rudolph there. You got to pick one of them and let them grow and develop. And I just don't want to see another quarterback taking away reps from either one of those guys.
All right, the Browns. The Browns don't have many draft picks. I wonder why.
I know, right?
They draft in the second at 49. Third round, pick 80. And they have 3 fives, a 6, and a 7. Andrew, what do you think is the best pit for your Cleveland Browns?
They got rid of Jabril Peppers in the Odell Beckham trade, and they have Demarius Randall, who's a fantastic safety there. Green Bay thought he was a corner, and they're stupid. So that coaching staff's gone, so I can say that now. Randall thrived. He was a playmaker on defense, big difference maker. I want to see them get somebody who's going to smash you in the mouth and make you be afraid to come across the middle when you've got receivers like A.J. Green, John Ross for now, unless he gets traded. And Juju Smith-Schuster. I don't want somebody going Vontaze Burfict on anybody. But I think Jonathan Abram, I mean, he's so badass and ignorant. He got kicked out of his own spring game last year for unnecessary roughness. So, I mean, if he's going to do that to teammates, that's the other plus side. If he's going to be doing that to Odell Beckham in practice, may not be the best thing. But I want a downhill safety where Randall's that nice drop back zone. Going to cover deep. I want Abram to help support the run. You've got Mark Ingram there now, potentially another running back coming into Baltimore. You've got Joe Mixon and you've got James Conner. So you've got to help with the run as much as possible. And that's Cleveland's Achilles heel year after year, it seemed, as the run support is just god awful. So I just want to see a downhill safety that can do that.
My best, I think, is kind of a cop out pick, but I think they just need to take the best player available, unless it's a wide receiver. Like, they do not need wide receivers, I don't think. I mean, I guess, you know, one late wouldn't hurt. You know, it never does. But I really like them grabbing maybe like an edge rusher, like not the line. Their line is amazing. Like a stand-up edge rusher, like Jalen Ferguson or O'Shane Ibanez. I really like that fit there. Losing Collins, they kind of lost that. Collins did a little more than just pass rush, but he was definitely a great pass rushing linebacker. So I would like to see somebody like Ferguson there. As far as worst fits, I don't think they need a running back.
No.
Unless they took one late. Like, once again, all of this is, you know, if they take a flyer on a guy in the sixth round, I'm not going to be like, oh, you know, but yeah, I mean, I could definitely see them, you know, maybe grabbing a depth piece. But because I don't know. What do you think of Kareem Hunt? Do you think they're going to keep him when he comes back?
I don't know. I've said before, I don't think they'll do it because I don't think John Dorsey's ignorant enough, because it would burn a lot of bridges with players for him to use him in the preseason, show that he's got the legs left, like run him 20, 30 times in the preseason game, let him have 200 yards against second team defenses. just to show what he can be and then turn around and flip him. I don't think they'll do that. I just think they're going to kind of do the ultimate 1-2 smash mouth type of football to where Baker's not going to be asked to win every game, which is going to be nice. I like that idea a lot. So, yeah, I just think Chubb and Hunt are going to go back and forth is what I think will happen. But, I mean, if you can move Hunt when he comes back or get a decent pick for him, maybe. But I don't know. I'm okay with keeping Hunt and Chubb and doing the 1-2 kind of two-headed dragon sort of approach.
Yeah, I think you keep Hunt as long as you can. And I mean, cause you just never know. I mean, if Chubb goes down, then
– oh, yeah, and with his knee injury. Yeah, exactly, his history.
It's – I think – for a team that could be as good as they look, I think having that good backup is more valuable than anything.
And look at LA with Gurley. Gurley's already having arthritis in his knee, and he's only been in the league a couple of years, whereas if Chubb's not going to get the same type of workload because he has someone like Hunt there, they could prolong both their careers. So I'm totally on board for it.
All right. I like your worst fit too. That was a good pick.
Yeah, I think the worst fit, just because he's kind of like that Demaryius Randall type but a lot less effective, is Deontay Thompson. I mean, he was getting first-round talk up until that college football playoff and especially the national championship game when Trevor Lawrence just torched his ass. Deontay Thompson, the safety out of Alabama, I think he's too much like Randall, like I said, but he'd be second string behind Randall. So I just don't think he's a good complement to what the defense needs. He's in run support, and that's why I like Abram a little bit more. It's just because he's more downhill. I don't think they need another zone-type safety.
Right. Oh, I absolutely agree, man. Good pick, man.
So right, my team, I hope I have good picks for both of them.
Yeah, now comes my favorite team. Anyway, I hate saying that, man. Drives me nuts. Anyways, all right. We're going to go Cincinnati Bengals. This is our last pick from the AFC North. They have pick 11. Pick 42 in the second, pick 72 in the third, fourth, fifth, and three sixth round picks. Anyways, all right. I like your best fit. I would absolutely love that there, Andrew.
Yeah, no, I just think the John Ross train has come and gone, and I don't think it's ever going to be what you want it to be. Why not get another good route runner opposite of AJ Green for whenever he's healthy? I also think he could be a wide receiver one to fill in for if A.J. Green misses time is my guy, Debo Samuel. I think Cincinnati would love him. I think he's a good AFC North type player where he's tough. He's been through the ringer, and I just think Cincinnati in general would benefit a lot from him, both on offense and just environment-wise. He'd be a good guy in the locker room, hard worker. So Debo Samuel gets my full endorsement to go to the Bengals as a best fit.
Wow. You get to see him on the other side of the ball.
I just don't want him to go to the Steelers. I can deal with him being at Cincinnati.
They're not going to do anything anyways.
True.
Very true. Anyways, my best fit for months, Devin White was mocked to the Bengals, mocked to the Bengals, mocked to the Bengals. And now all of a sudden he's getting this buzz like he's might go in the top five, like the Raiders are now all of a sudden look like a sexy pick or the Giants or if – best case scenario, second best case scenario is Devin Bush. I'd also love to see that attitude and that they need some infusion of talent in the linebacking core. They've got some decent linebackers there, but yeah, Devin Bush he reminds me a lot of Vontaze Burfict in ways, not in certain ways, obviously. I don't think he's dirty and you know all that, but I like the fire that he, you know, the way he plays. He just has that added that chip on his shoulder. And I love that in a linebacker. So if we can't get the first Devin, I would be okay with Devin 2A or whatever. I don't know, whatever you want to call it.
I feel like the Bengals have been mocked a linebacker for the last 3-4 years.
Right. And they just keep the missing tail end
of Raymond Luga's time.
Yeah, they just keep missing on him. And I don't know. I think either of those guys would be a home run there. Worst fit for them, for me, is Montez Sweat. I just – something about him I just don't like. And I can't put my finger on it. I have noticed – you see it on tape. You don't see it consistently on tape. I think that's part of it. And then he went and just destroyed the combine. And the athletic ability is there, but I just don't see it as – I don't see the athletic ability on tape, I guess. So, like, I'm a little worried about him, a little apprehensive of him, especially at 11. That's what I'm saying. I think he's going to tail end of the first round. I think that's where he belongs, but or middle. But I just don't want him to take him too early. So.
See, I think him at 11 is a good, like, a solid value personally. Yeah. But no, I get your concerns. The athletic testing, it's just like DK. The athletic testing versus what you see on the tape. And I have nothing to argue with you on either of those picks.
And your worst fit?
My worst fit's Daniel Jones.
Well, that and was I every team. That, come on.
That's the nicest thing I could do for the Bengals. I mean, after all, we did give him Hugh Jackson last year, so we could at least make it up to you by telling you not to take Daniel Jones. I just think I could see it where Taylor is going to be like, I see the holes, I can fix them. I'm Sean McVay's offspring. I can be the quarterback guru, yada, yada, yada. No, not with Daniel Jones.
Right.
Just don't. And I think give Dalton a year with Taylor. A lot of people are saying move on from Dalton. I get that you Bengals fans may want to, but I think
– don't.
I don't think he's that bad.
I don't either.
Like, Jacksonville had Blake Bortles. New York has Eli Manning. So, Dalton, while Dalton's not elite, he's serviceable for sure.
Right. And he usually, for the most part, takes care of the ball and doesn't make terribly stupid decisions. You know, he's not going to win you a game, but he doesn't lose you many either. So, I have no problem with Andy Dalton, honestly. Other than he's a ginger. You can't trust gingers. But anyways,
I don't know.
That's right? For you, Tyler. Anyway, all right. We do have some fan questions. We got a couple fun ones. We'll start with the.
We have a lot of fun ones. There wasn't a lot of football this week.
We'll start with the football ones first, and then we'll get to the fun ones last. All right. We'll start with the. We've already talked about this a little bit. At the FFL Wire asked, the big debate up in Green Bay is, haha, Clinton Dix or Adrian Amos. Both free agency signings to address area of need for each team, but who do you think is better, value versus return? I say haha is the value, Amos is return. Your thoughts? That is a long, long question.
I had to copy and paste it because I was not typing it out and I didn't feel like shortening it. And I knew you'd read it, so I had no problem with it.
All right. Yeah, for me, I think haha might be a slightly better football player, but I like Adrian Amos a lot more. I think he's more consistent. I think he brings more of a strong safety presence. I absolutely love Amos. I thought them getting him was one of the better free agency signings. And I don't think they're going to miss a beat. Haha was gone half the year to Washington anyways. And I didn't see them missing him very much. I'm not a big fan of Haha. It's more of a fantasy tilt as to why I don't. He's very inconsistent from a fantasy standpoint. And I tend to like my, you know, the more consistent safeties, obviously. So I like Amos a lot more. Do you have any thoughts on that?
You're definitely the defensive guy here, so I'm going to let you say your piece. I mean, just for me personally, from my quick eyeball test, I do like Clinton Dix just a little bit more. But at the same time, I think it's a good fit for both, to where I think Amos is probably going to get the most – Green Bay is going to get more out of Amos than Chicago is going to get out of Dix, I think.
Probably. All right, we have another question right along these lines. At Enzo De La Hoya asked, the running back for Chicago to complement Tariq Cohen. You alluded to one earlier. Do you have any other ones that you think might complement him well?
Jordan Howard. Just keep it the way it is.
What about Rodney Anderson?
I almost wrote him in.
Yeah.
I think – but. I guess with Anderson, with his knee, it would make more sense. So, yeah, I mean, I think Anderson would be a good one. That was a good suggestion by you. My only thing is with Chicago, I don't know if Anderson's going to be – he might be there in the third. He probably will be there in the third. But, again, they're kind of like a team where do you want to spend a third on an extra running back?
Well,
like, if they're so close.
If they plan on moving Howard, I think they have no choice. Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously.
Right. So, but they may not be willing to wait for Anderson either. So, yeah, I like that. Like the big two down back that doesn't necessarily have to catch the ball. Yeah, I can't think of any other offhand. For some reason, I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, there's a lot of pass catching backs. Like, and I have the running backs up here, and there's some I haven't watched yet. Like Mike Weber might be that compliment to like he was in college with J.K. Dobbins from Ohio State. I don't think L.J. Scott fits that bill. I almost wrote in Caron Higdon, but I wouldn't.
That wouldn't be bad. Trevion Williams might not be bad either.
He can catch though.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Maybe Elijah Holyfield. You don't need him to be explosive.
Wow, that's like Christian Okoye in the backfield. Anyways,
what a slap in the face to Christian Okoye.
Yeah, I think he's faster. Anyways, that's not nice. Because realistically, Elijah Holyfield could easily hunt me down and kill me without. I can outrun him. So.
Oh yeah, all you have to do is flex on me, and you just crap your pants and die.
Exactly. All right. Now we got one more from at John is straight.
I wrote John, it. Come it on.
Anyways, all right. Anyways, thoughts on DeMario Crockett? It was actually, he is one that I think a couple years ago was thought as one of the top ones that would be coming out in this class, and he just faded like big time.
Yeah. I think part of it is obviously the whole center of attention there is Drew Lock and Emmanuel Hall with his lack of hands. So Crockett has that ability to be like he talked about, he thinks he can be what everyone wants Singletary to be. Just to put it in perspective, I've graded both Crockett and Singletary out of my running backs I have. Singletary is my second running back, whereas Crockett is my 15th running back. So, and I've got him behind names like Elijah Holyfield, Dexter Williams, Madison, just to name a few. Obviously, there's more big names in front of there, but I'm sure Doyle will edit out the pause, but it was a very long pause as I was scrolling down my rankings. So, no, I think Crockett can be good. I think he's definitely going to be the right situation, right scenario, sort of fit.
Right. Now, he is, from what I've seen of him, his vision isn't the greatest. He is shifty. He can make people miss. He cannot break tackles, which is surprising at 5'10", 225. He's only caught 9 passes. I just read this. He's fumbled once every 40 touches in his entire career. That's not good. It's hashtag not good. So, there's a lot of detractions. I totally wouldn't be surprised if he went undrafted, honestly. So, yeah, he looked like he had promise there for a couple years. He was drafted, you know, I'm trying to think back to one of the first Debbie drafts I did a couple years ago, and he was one of the top ones drafted, but he has definitely faded in the last couple of years. So you see flashes of talent, but then you see flashes of just an ordinary back. So yeah, unfortunately. Now we got two fun questions, and of course they're from DHH guys.
Of course.
Ernest Goff, Ohio State sucks. Anyways, asked us tater tots or fries. Andrew?
Oh, tater tots all day. It's not even a question for me.
Right. Yeah, I think I'll agree. Tater tots, although I think I eat fries probably. I think I have tater tots once to every 10 times I eat fries, but I like tater tots, man. I wish we had them more, especially like ones I need in them. Tater tots. Oh, yeah.
There's so much flexibility with them.
Yeah, my wife makes this like tater tot casserole with like cheese and ground beef and mushroom gravy. Oh, it's just amazing.
My sister-in-law made a tater tot casserole one time. Yep. Most disgusting shit I've ever had in my entire life. Probably second behind my mother's pizza bake. And while we have a little bit of time, so I'll throw this story out there for everyone to enjoy for a little bit of football break. My mother, we didn't grow up with a lot of money, would get the Chef Boyardee pizza kits, and she would take like the pizza sauce out of it and we'd get like cheap stuff to throw into it. And she made pizza bake one time. And I liked everything in it, but everything in it was so disgusting. But I didn't want to tell her it was bad. So I ate my full plate and I said, oh, I'm not feeling too good. I'll just eat the rest later. Well, she packed it for lunch the next day for school. So I didn't eat lunch at school that day. But I dumped it out at school. So she thought I ate it. She made a second batch that night because she thought I liked it so much. And that's when I had to break it to her. I was like, I just can't eat this again. I said, it's so bad. So, yeah, second behind. It goes tater tot casserole for my sister-in-law and then my mother's pizza bake. So for a little bit of a football break.
I hope it's entirely different than the one my wife makes. The one that my wife makes is very good.
That sounds good.
Yeah. So. All right. Then another DHH. This one's from our I don't know, grandpa podcast, father pod, whatever. I don't know. But the the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. Tim Keller asked, what is our 1.01 of pasta dishes? This is one of the hardest questions I think
I've now ever. Are we talking pasta specific, or are we talking like the dish as a whole, like chicken Alfredo? Well, that makes it tougher then.
Yeah, like in my household, chicken Alfredo is like a staple.
Same.
Like it is something, but if you ask me what my favorite pasta dish is, it's lasagna. I love lasagna, like a good lasagna. Oh,
you ready for the hottest take ever? I hate lasagna.
You are a strange man. Get out. I'll make a big freaking pan and I will eat it for 5 days. It's better when it's warmed up. I love it. Anyway, it's probably my 101.
I would probably go with, and I actually had it for lunch today because I made it last night. I do a seafood Alfredo with angel hair pasta. I don't want any of this fettuccine thick noodle BS. I want the thin spaghetti because I'm not a thin person. So I think if I put something thin into my body, it'll make me thin.
Yeah, that's, you could go so many routes with this one. There's Macaroni Grill. They have one of the most amazing dishes I've ever had. I can't remember what it's called, but it has
like, Parmesan is my second.
Yeah, it has, the one at Macaroni Grill has like bacon and sun-dried tomatoes and it is phenomenal. But I think all the Macaroni Grills went out of business up here. But
can I count macaroni with ketchup on top of it as a dish?
No, I will, man. Out. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just glad you didn't say like spaghetti or something. Spaghetti is awesome, but you know, not like a 101. But I'm curious.
Yeah, that's the cheap answer.
Dynasty Frank, if you're listening to this, what's your 101 of pasta? Anyway, Dynasty Frank's from New York. He'll tell us what it is. It's probably, you know, gabagool or something, you know, whatever. Something.
Yeah, something.
Something real.
I'll ask Connor Rogers after we're done with this too.
Not this American Italian that we eat. Anyways.
Right.
That will wrap up our show for this week. We will do another division next week. Next week will probably be the, what do you think? South? Yeah, probably South.
We'll do something like that.
So
baseball starts today when everyone will hear this episode. So go A's.
Yay, go Cubs, go. Go
Cubs, go. Can I say that on the podcast?
Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gone. What?
They're not going to win anything.
Not a podcast unless I sing. So, anyways, they will too win. They'll win 90-something games and lose in the first round of the playoffs. So, anyways, Andrew, tell people where they can find your work at.
They can find – I've got my running back rankings dropping on Scorecrow this Monday. I already have my tight ends and wide receiver rankings out. They're my pinned tweet. I ranked 15 tight ends, 42 wide receivers, which was oh so much fun. I've got, I think, north of 25 running backs. I'll have them too. I know overall between quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends, I've got 111 names I'll have out for everybody. And I'll have a top 100 big board the week of the draft for before the draft, obviously, and then landing spots the next Monday, I'll have a whole new big board. So I've been working on that a lot for you guys. So I'm hoping you guys check that out.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I got to get something like that around. Right now I'm kind of in a couple things. It's crazy. Debbie draft I'm in and works chaotic. And I got a family trip next week for spring break, but then hopefully I'll get back into the grind again. So you can find me on Twitter at FF People's Champ. And sorry, man, I'm tired. Anyways, this stupid cold that I've had for 10 days now. You can find my work at Dynasty Happy, the new shiny improved Dynasty Happy Hour. Once again, if you have any questions, please feel free to email us at DebbieHappyHour@gmail.com or send us a question on Twitter at, and her handle is at Debbie Happy Hour.
One last plug for me too to end the show.
Wreck.
I tweeted it out that I'm working on. I pulled several draft analysts. I got four of them to respond to me. I didn't bother Matt Miller because I don't even want to know what his life's like at this point. And I didn't talk to Mello because it's the same way. But I asked them four questions about players that'll help you immediately in fantasy and players to stash in fantasy. Because obviously, listen to the show, you want to hear our inputs, but we have some connections and I want to share those too with everybody. Because a lot of these writers don't do a lot of fantasy content, so I figured I'd ask them, engage their interest to get an idea. So I have Mark Jarvis at What's on NFL Draft or What's on Draft. I can't remember. Who does a fantastic rookie guide every year. He has so many players. He does a lot of the cut-ups on YouTube if you watch them. I got Nick Farabaugh, I think I'm saying his name right, who does – he's a fantasy writer as well. So I figured I got somebody from the draft Twitter community, got somebody from the fantasy community, and I got Kyle Krabs from the NFL, or from the Draft Network to give me some time. And I've got Connor Rogers from Bleacher Report. So two very well-known outlets. I got two of their main guys. And then I got a fantasy guy and a hardworking Twitter guy whose opinion I trust and respect a lot. So I'll have that out hopefully this weekend. And we can even break it down next week if you want, just as a little bit of a recap. But that's something fun I'm thinking is going to be a good read for people.
Yeah, that'll be cool, man. And we do hopefully have our first player interview coming up soon. So yay.
Yeah, we won't drop any names, but it rhymes with Ayler and ends in Uri. Not really. We couldn't get that lucky. Plus, the way he interviewed with Dan Patrick, I wouldn't want to talk to him anyway.
No, he would big time us for sure.
Oh, we don't got that Gatorade money to throw at him.
No. So, all right, guys. Well, we will drop more questions, more polls. So, yeah, let us know what you guys like, and we will talk to you next week.